wonderful to have Gabe and Kim Dominguez here with us. Man, we love you guys. It's always special to have people who've been part of our lives, part of our ministry here, that grace us with their presence. And was that Lily crying in the back there? That wasn't Lily. That was another one of Lily's friends that came. So you can greet Gabe and Kim after the service. Please ask before you touch the baby. But I want to hold the baby after service. So I'm asking now if I can hold Lily after service. Wonderful to have them with us. And really good to be in the house of the Lord together with you this morning. Thank you for being here. We've been talking over the last weeks about worship. We've been talking about how our worship is our active response to all that God reveals to us. Everything that he reveals, who he is, what he's done, and what he's doing right now. All that he reveals, as we have this active response to him, we're worshiping. Not just when we're here within these four walls, but everywhere we go throughout our week. It's our worship when we're actively responding to what he has revealed and what he's revealing right in that moment. But you know what? Every person who's followed Jesus for more than a season can begin to recognize this reality, that it's really easy for our walk of faith and our worship to become very routine. For us to kind of slip into a rut in our worship and our response to the Lord. I've heard a rut described as a grave with its ends kicked out. That's what a rut is, a grave with its ends kicked out. It is this habit, it is a routine that has become lifeless. And unfortunately, our worship, our followership of Jesus, this active response to his revelation, can become something just routine. It's far too easy for any of us to slip into kind of the going through the motions of being a Christian. Have you ever been there? I have. And if we're not careful, what started as this passionate pursuit of this relationship and this intimacy with Jesus can slip into something that is just kind of dry and dusty rules, regulations, and routines. In other words, we can turn this vital connection with the God of the universe who loves us and who speaks to us, we can take that all down and boil it into nothing more than religion. Much of the book of Galatians in the New Testament was written to people who had begun to slip into that way of thinking about this passionate, intimate worship with Jesus, and it kind of slid from there to become something where they were now actually worshiping religion sometimes in place of worshiping Jesus. He was addressing people who had mistakenly begun to believe that somehow following the law that God had given in the Old Testament to his people, that somehow following the law was still a valid way of somehow cultivating relationship with God and worshiping him. Now see, the Old Testament and the law that had been given to God's people was extraordinarily valid during that time. Before Jesus came, the law had been given to God's people so that they would know exactly what God required. So when you read through the Old Testament, oh my goodness, there are rules, there are regulations about what you could eat, what you could drink, where you could live, how the priests all worked, how the temple was to be cared for, all kinds of rules and regulations that governed God's people. And it was something very precious. The law was not bad, But the law, we learn as we read through the New Testament, was replaced by something new. It was replaced by grace. It was replaced by the sacrifice of Jesus. Because what we find is that no one was capable of fulfilling all of the law. We were powerless to fulfill all the requirements of the law that had been given to God's people in the Old Testament. But we find that Jesus, that when he went to the cross, that he paid the ultimate price so that all of us, in all of our weakness, could still receive this gracious gift of salvation, and that we would begin to follow him in a new way. But how many of you realize that it can be really easy that even when we have something of the truth, something as powerful as the story of the gospel of Jesus, that it can actually become pretty easy to slip back into old ruts and routines? Sometimes we actually kind of find comfort in going back to that which was old. Even though it's not fresh, even though it's not this revelation that God is giving us right now for today, we can slip back and slide into those old patterns. And the people that the Apostle Paul was writing to in the book of Galatians had begun to do that. Now, important part of the law, everybody say the law. A very important part of the law was around this one regulation that is actually a bit uncomfortable for us to talk about. It's a little bit uncomfortable for me to talk about, and it may be uncomfortable for you to hear, but it's biblical. It's a sign that God gave his people that they were his people. It was the sign of circumcision, okay? I'm not wanting to talk about that necessarily, except that the Bible talks about it. So if God was okay having this part of his word to us, maybe we can discover something here in this story. As uncomfortable it is for us to talk about, I think it was even more uncomfortable for the people that were participating in this particular act of worship and followership of the Lord. See, but before Jesus came to earth and died on the cross and initiated a new covenant, a new way for us to worship and to have intimate relationship with the Lord, circumcision was very important. It was a cutting of the flesh that was a critical marker that distinguished who God's people were and who were people who rejected God and did not want to follow after him. And so you might even remember, if you're somebody who has spent any time reading in the Old Testament, you'll find that there's even people that are described as those uncircumcised Philistines, right? Just about rocks were starting to get hurled and giants were falling. That was the sort of language that was used to really say, these are people who have rejected God's plan. These are people who are refusing to participate with the patterns that God has given. Those uncircumcised Philistines. If you really are ever mad at somebody, you can call them that. No, just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. Wouldn't even make any sense at all. They'd probably hit you. See, but while circumcision was very important to literally mark God's people, Jesus brought about this complete new way of having a relationship with him. That instead of following after religious rules and routines and regulations, Jesus paid a price so that our relationship with him is now by grace through faith. We read in Ephesians 2:8. This strong point that Paul was making about relationship with God in the book of Galatians comes to its highest point in chapter 5, verse 6. And I think we have this to put up on the screen. Paul writes this and he says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value." Say, any value. He's saying, you guys, my friends, my brothers and sisters, In the region of Galatia, I need you to understand something, that your worship that you think is still valid, a way to connect with God, to worship him by following this former rule and regulation that had been for people in the past, absolutely has no value any longer because of Jesus. Jesus has paid the price that old form of worship, because it was worship for God's people in the days of old. What do you mean it was worship? Because they actively responded to that which God was revealing. And he had revealed to them that, hey, you need to participate in this act to show that you're my people. So they had done that. And it had become ingrained as part of their culture. If you were a Jew at that time, growing up as a person of God, well, that meant that all the males were circumcised. It was a very serious thing. They had ceremonies built around that. They absolutely just included that as part of what it meant to be a Jew and what it meant to be a follower of God. It was an active response to God's revelation. But God was saying, I have something new for you. And if you go back to the old pattern, if you go back to that old way of thinking, if you go back to the law, if you go back to the law to try to find a way and a pattern to have intimacy with me, you're missing it. You've missed my heart, and you've actually missed the very reason that Jesus came. Somehow they had begun to believe that shedding a little bit of their blood would somehow gain them favor with the God who had already shed his perfect blood for us. They missed the point of the gospel, and they missed the point of this progression of worship of what God was revealing for them. But guess what? All of us can miss the point. All of us can miss the point. Even though circumcision was an uncomfortable act, they had become comfortable with it as part of their religion, their religious experience. It was a routine that had become so ingrained in their culture that they didn't want to give up this way of doing life. See, to give up circumcision would mean that God was requiring them to respond in a new way that was unfamiliar to them. This responding to the things of the Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit would begin to urge them in a new direction, that they would need to say, God, I want to respond to the Holy Spirit and what you're stirring right now. That can be a bit uncomfortable. That is way outside of routine when God begins to stir something in our hearts. Sometimes doing something that is unfamiliar can be just as uncomfortable as talking about circumcision. It's uncomfortable doing something that may be unfamiliar to us, but that God is maybe drawing us into in acts of worship. Now listen, it's easy for us to sit here this morning and to say, who are those religious people that the pastor's talking about? Oh, I know. It's those who are part of that Catholic tradition. They're so religious. Oh my goodness, you know, they kneel, they do the genuflecting, hands in motion, they repeat certain prayers, right? Now that's religious, we could say. But let me tell you something. I'm not talking about those who are part of the Catholic tradition. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about us because any of us can take something that is precious and something that is that revelation of God, and it can slide and slip right into a place where it's just becomes dead routine. It can become that religious rut for any of us We get up on Sunday. Okay, I'm going to church. All right. That's what I do because I'm a Christian. I don't like it a whole lot. And there may be people there I don't really care for, but I'm going to go. I'm just going to bite my lip and I'm going to go to church. All right. I got there. Okay. I guess I'm going to sing a few songs. The beat's kind of catchy, but they're just going to make me do it. I'm going to just sing some songs. Oh, and there comes Pastor Joel talking about money, talking about an offering. I guess I'm going to take out a few dollars and kind of give them to God because I guess that's what he must demand. And pretty soon, these things that actually have been given to us as beautiful forms of response to what God has revealed can just become routine. It can become this rut. It can become actually very, very religious. Rather than actively responding to the God of the universe. Now listen, the second part though of this verse, Galatians 5:6, I think is one of the most amazing statements about worship. One of the most amazing statements about worship, because he doesn't stop by just saying, hey, there's no value. Whether you're circumcised or not circumcised, there's no value in Jesus. And then he goes on and says this. He says, the only thing that counts, say the only thing. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Whew. Now, I know there's some people in this church that have like Bible scriptures tattooed somewhere on your body, okay? I see that hand. I know there are because I've seen a few scriptures. Can I tell you, if you're ever thinking about getting like a tattoo of a scripture, this may be one you'd want to put on the top of the list. I'm telling you that, not because I want you to do it, but just if you're thinking about it, because this statement is so rich with truth about what worship is about living lives that are filled with faith, but not a faith that is dead or routine, but that finds vital and new expression, and not just any expression, but love expressions. Let's take a look at those three ideas. The first thing that begins that statement is that the only thing that counts is faith. Now we'll get to we'll finish that statement in moments. But faith being part of this worship experience is absolutely essential. In fact, we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that it is impossible to please God without faith. You can't do it. If you put your faith in yourself or you put your trust in yourself, there is no pleasing God in any of that. It requires us to actually add faith to whatever this expression is. In other words, if you come into church and even if you're like singing and we look over, man, and you're just dancing and got your hands in the air, we go, wow, that person is really worshiping. Maybe not. Can I just say, maybe not. Now, you're singing, you're dancing, you're doing those things for sure. But for it to be worship, it has to be something that is informed by, motivated by faith, and not just a beat, not just a song. Not just something that like, hey, this is so cool, man. This is like being at a Raiders game, man. We're like into this. We're like, woo, you know. No, that's cool. That's all good. That's all fun energy, right? Not worship. See, worship requires that faith is added into the expression. That somehow something that God has revealed is now finding expression through my life, through my song, through my action. Faith is required. You may say, faith in what? Well, that's what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. That God reveals himself in at least in three ways. Who he is, what he's done and what he's doing right now by his Spirit. He reveals those things to us in oh so many ways, through his word, through people, through his creation. He uses everything to reveal himself to people so that no one, Scripture says, is without or with excuse. He reveals himself to us, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing right now. When we say, God, I trust in that. I trust in who you are. I trust in what you've done for me. And God, I'm even trusting in that thing that you are stirring right now. I'm going to be obedient to that and find an expression for that. That is our worship. Take the example of giving money. Joel comes and says, hey, we're going to receive in these beautiful offerings and these gifts. And we go through that motion of wondering, like, okay, do I give? What do I have? Do I have enough for lunch? I don't know. Do I have enough to pay my bills? All those things. But let me tell you, even when we give, and if it's not being given in faith, then all we're kind of doing is we're kind of going through this religious habit. It becomes something that, forgive this expression, it becomes like tipping God. Hey, I guess I'm in your house, so what do I owe you? Okay, you know. Which is so missing the point. So missing the point. If our gifts are not motivated by our faith in who he is the creator God. He is my provider. And what has he done? He's provided for me. The only reason I even have money in my wallet is because he is the provider. He has given me the ability to worship him through my offerings. And what is he doing right now? See, some, even with their giving and their gifts, it becomes so habitual that, like, we don't even think about it anymore. We never even ask God, like, God, do you want me to give something different today than I've done for the past 30 weeks? I don't know, God, is that possible? Might you speak something into my heart? Do you want me to do something different now? Is there a special need that maybe you've provided for me that I could help meet? Maybe my next door neighbor is going through something. God, are you reminding me of that person? Because God, you want me to go and gift them with something that would be of resource and of help to them. Okay, God, I'll do that. See, that is when our giving and our offerings to the Lord and this worship through financial giving actually becomes alive and becomes something that is truly worship. It no longer can be a religious dead end or a habit or routine or rut. It becomes this actual conversation with God, that God, I know who you are. And I know what you've done for me. But God, I believe that you might want to even speak something to me right now that would actually impact the decision I make of what I would give financially. And believe me, this is not a message on finance. It's a message on our worship. And we're not going to pass the plate again. So don't you worry. But to continue with this thought, there's a story where Jesus had his disciples with him and they were watching people give financially. There was people that were giving money at the temple. And they're watching these people give. Evidently, there was some very rich people. The scripture tells us that. And they're kind of dragging their bag of gold behind them. You know, it's like, wow, those people are giving so much, right? But in Mark chapter 12, we read the rest of the story. And it says, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, hey, guys, come here. I want to show you something. I want to make a point here. You see what this lady's done? I said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more. Everybody say more. Into the treasury than all the others. Her act meant more. See, God, and we've said this before, you've probably heard this before, God doesn't need our money, right? He's got all the resource in the universe, and here we come with our few dollars, right, that we're adding in like, woo. He doesn't need our money, but let me tell you something. God will exponentially increase both the effectiveness of what we give as we give in obedience to what he is stirring in our heart, what he is revealing to us. He will exponentially not only meet needs through that, it's the more. God can do more with less than a cent than what men would think all these bags of gold are going to be able to accomplish. And God's like, no, you don't get it. It ain't about the gold. It's about what I am stirring within you, what I am communicating by my spirit. And this lady got it. And he finishes and says, they all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. See, what I believe is that this lady added faith to these two little coins. That somehow she had this conversation with God that maybe went something like this. God, I know that these are my last two coins, but I know where they came from. They came from you. You are my provider. God, you've taken care of me in the past. She was an old lady. She probably had a lot of stories about how God had come through. God, you've taken care of me all these years. You're not going to stop now. I've watched you work before, and I know you're going to work again. And God, I believe that you are prompting me by your spirit to give these last coins. It doesn't even make sense to me, God. But I'm going to do it anyway. God, it doesn't have to make sense to me in the moment because I trust you, and I just want to be obedient to you as an act of faith and an act of worship. God, here is my expression of faith. And God says, that is more. That is more than all the other gifts. Because of this radical faith that is represented in this act of worship. Can I tell you? This lady didn't have a rut or routine or a religious bone in her body. She had this passionate, vital worship relationship with God. Wow. What part of my walk, God, may have become stale and devoid of true life? God, is there some aspect of my life that has just become a routine or a rut? See, true worship is always going to press us back to who God is, what he has done historically in the world and in my life. And it's always going to press us to asking, God, what are you doing right now? God, how do you want me to respond right now? The second thing that verse reminds us is that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself. Express yourself. I think there's a song from a long time ago that says something like that. It's about worship. What do you know? See, we learn that it's not enough to just be a person of faith. It's not enough to be a person of faith, but people of faith who are worshipers will always find expression for that faith. Faith must find expression. Faith has to leak out into our behaviors. Our faith has to leak out into our behaviors at home, in at work, and at school and in our neighborhoods and when we gather together as his people and when we're hosting events and we're loving on our neighborhood, our faith must find expression. James said it really, really powerfully in James 2, starting in verse 14. He said this, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions?" It's like you can say all day long that you're a person of faith. Oh, I trust God, brother. Oh, I love God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. That's good. How are you living different because of that reality? How are you expressing that in your daily life? Does your faith have expression? Because if it doesn't, he asked the question, what good is it? Can that kind of faith save anyone? That's a question to ponder, and maybe for another day. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, hey, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing? What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. See, I think that question, I said, maybe that'll be worth coming back to at some point. Can that kind of faith save someone? Well, I'll tell you who it doesn't save. It doesn't save your neighbor who's in need, who needs food or clothing, or maybe they even need a relationship with God. If my faith doesn't find expression by opening my mouth and sharing about God, it doesn't save them. It's useless. It's dead. It stops right here. There's just death right here. Faith must find expression. See, over the last weeks, we've been talking about our response, our active response to God's revelation, to what all that he reveals is our worship. These faith expressions, right? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself. These faith expressions are those active responses. Just like the woman who gave those two coins. She could have faith in God that he's my provider and he's been there for me in the past. But guess what she had to do? Give. She had to actually take those two coins out of her purse and give them. That was the expression of her faith. It wasn't enough that she just had faith. There had to be this expression for it to be true worship. What part of my faith may have become stale? Routine, a religious rut. See, true worship will always push us back to living, vital acts of faith, expressions. Then the last thing this verse says is that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Oh, what a beautiful reminder. Because let me tell you, not every expression is equal. That's what he's telling us here. Not everything, even that's done in the name of Christ, is valid as a form of worship. Listen, we're all smart enough to know that there have been things done in history in Christ's name that have absolutely been wrong, even evil, even used by the enemy of our soul against people, to oppress people, to come against people, to stir up hate instead of love. See, we're reminded right here that every expression that I want to have of my faith, woohoo, I get to do whatever I want in my expression of my faith. So just get out of my way because I'm expressing myself. And we're reminded right here that that doesn't cut it. that all expression is not equal. For us to have this vital worship relationship with God, that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So we're able to judge ourselves. And we're able to say, God, this expression that I believe that you're stirring in my heart, Lord, how might this be representative of my love for you and for other people? And what would that even look like? See, because I think that worship has a lot more to do just with song on a Sunday morning. I think that worship might look like what Rhonda Nelson does. Baking cookies for people who are shut in, who don't get out much, who have gone, some of them, through medical procedures and things that are cause a lot of limitation. And going to home after home after home after home. And Rhonda was telling me that in this past week, over 160 little care packages of cookies and love notes been made, and most of them delivered already. I think worship could look like that. See, I think that is a faith-filled expression of love. See, I think a faith expression of love, I think worship could look like a week ago Saturday when we had over 1,000 people on this campus, not because we were trying to preach at them, but because we were allowing our faith in God to find loving expression. So it looked like painting kids' faces and handing out tacos and telling people how amazing that their classic cars were. And taking pictures of smiling kids on pony rides. And tossing bean bags and cutting out crafts. And dancing. Dances of Mexico. Ballet folklorico. Can I tell you that we do that as a church? We dance. We do ballet folklorico not because we think God is so impressed. That's my favorite dance in the world. Thank you. I love the skirt thing. No, you know why we do it? Because we love people. Because it is an expression of our faith in God. Finding a way to leak out in love for the people of Santa Maria, who do say, that's my favorite dance in the world, thank you very much. And when we dance ballet folklorico, you know what it is? It's worship. Because it is a faith-filled expression of our love for God and for people. What does worship look like? In Charlotte, North Carolina this week, there's been a lot of trauma to the soul of a city and to populations who have erupted over in such conflict of the soul and relationally. It's been very trying for our country, but for this city. And I saw a picture that was posted this week by the president of Foursquare, and it was about 50 police officers just about when they were to go on duty. They were on their knees. Praying before they went out. See, I think worship can look like that. Finding a way forward in faith. This expression of getting on my knees and saying, God, I know where my security comes from. I know where my safety comes from. I don't know what I'm going to face today. But God, I better be out there loving people. I better be out there loving people. God, help me. I don't know what all their prayers were, but when I looked at that picture, I saw white officers, I saw black officers, and officers that were probably somewhere in between, who were coming together around the throne of grace as an expression of their faith and their love, probably for each other and probably for their city that is so divided. I believe that's an act of worship. You don't need to put this slide up. I just want to read you a verse as we get ready to conclude. 1 John 3:16 says this, "So we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us." Do you want to see the greatest expression of love ever? We have a symbol right here on our stage. It's the cross. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. See, not every faith expression is equal. True worship somehow must be an embodiment of our love for God and for others. Jesus modeled this kind of worship. Can I have our worship team come? I think we need to find some love expressions, some faith expressions of our love. There's a gentleman who came and spoke to some thousands of Foursquare leaders a year ago. His name is Bob Goff. He's a Christian author and a global, what I would call a global love activist. Man, he loves Jesus and he finds some incredible, beautiful ways to show off that love. And this is a quote from him that I think sums up this message really well. Go ahead and put it up. Would you read that with me together? Love God, love people, do stuff. Say it again like you mean it. Love God, love people, do stuff. Do stuff. You know what? Listen, our faith must find expression. And it must be an expression that represents our love for him and for people. That's our worship. That's our worship. Sometimes our love, like as when we sing, is more directed upward. It's an expression of our faith to God. God, I love you. Sometimes our expressions of faith, like at the fiesta last week, or like cookies being delivered, is more of that expression of love that's directed outward towards others. But I believe it's all worship. All that we do, there are these active responses to what God has revealed, is our worship. And we could even say that those active responses, as we learn in this scripture right here, Galatians 5:6, those active responses are faith-filled love expressions. That's our worship. That's our worship. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. I'm going to invite our worship team to help us find a worthy expression, to help us maybe put words to melody that would allow us to somehow express our faith-filled love for the Lord. Whether you right in this moment would express just by opening your mouth and singing a song, or maybe an expression, a very valid expression might be, I'm not telling you to, might be to stand, might be. Maybe someone else would find that expression by getting on your knees. Maybe someone else would find an expression, a faith-filled love expression, by getting out of your seat and coming to these steps, or kind of representative of an altar. Maybe your faith-filled expression would be to say, God, I have never fully surrendered my life to you. I've been holding back. I've been holding on. My expressions have always been limited because I haven't felt that I could trust you completely. But God, now I want to say yes to you. And so in your heart of hearts, you might say, God, today's my day that I give you all of who I am. See, that's worship. That's worship. So with eyes closed, unless you need to peek to read the words, can we just take these last few minutes and find love expressions of our faith?